Welcome back, Telesales Beast. I got a little something different for you. Jamal English asked me to come and speak with his sales reps, his Telesales team, and I had such a good time that I said, dude, send me that MP3. We're going to put it on the podcast. We really dove deep into bold, empathetic, assumptive, servant, teachable. That's the acronym for Beast. That's why I call you all Telesales Beast. Let's get down.
You're dialing in to the All Things Telesales Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lynn. If the phone is your weapon, this is your podcast. We're changing the perception of telesales. We're a tribe of telesales professionals who believe in compassion before commission. We're empowering the call coaching experience by starting with the person and salesperson. When we take care of the person, the calls take care of themselves.
Let's face it, the old way of coaching and then hoping your reps use your coaching goes out the window with Balto. Every day your reps get coaching during calls, and you get data to show you how to give even better coaching that increases sales. You can use that data and make coaching changes that go to every rep with the push of a button. It's very next level. You can see how Balto works at balto.ai/product-tour. Let's get dialed in.
Let's take a moment really quickly. I'm excited because our guest today, he's also on the West Coast, excuse me. So he's up super early this morning to give us his energy, his presence, and his experience. We got Jake Lynn in the house. You guys, before he says anything, I want to give you guys a little bit of some information on him. And, you know, Jake has been doing telesales almost his entire experience. His entire career in insurance. This guy, he knows exactly what he's doing when he's on the phone. He actually built out a training module. He has a big team. We're going to hear a lot about all of that. But before we go through that, you know, I want to make sure that we give this man the attention and the respect that he deserves. He's given us his presence today. So first and foremost, I want to welcome you, Jake. Thank you for joining us on Results Over Reasons. And I also want to allow you to grace us with your presence and just thank you so much for the opportunity to join us this morning. How you doing?
Hey, man. Yeah, better than I deserve. Appreciate this.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. I'm super happy that you're joining us here today. And Jake, you know, I don't want to do the disservice of missing very specific milestones in your career. Would you grace us with the honor of just kind of giving us a little bit of a background as far as, you know, what made you want to get into telesales in the first place, and sure, why insurance?
Yeah, for sure. So it's funny, right? Like different things in life that happen for us rather than to us, right? So it's all about shifting that mindset. And so my wife and I were struggling to have a pregnancy, and we tried for 8 years, and we finally decided to do IVF. And so we were going through all these different doctor visits while we're battling this infertility a couple of years ago. And so the reason why I got into it was so I would never miss a doctor's appointment, man. I was that face-to-face field agent, you know. You see them in the Groundhog Day movie type of agent. Hey, do you have any life insurance? You know, that guy named Ned. And so you're like this guy in your local community, and you get tired of reaching out to your natural market. You just feel so challenged, you know, and then you're having to travel, you know, to three or four different states. And a lot of people that's probably on this call or listening to this audio playback is can kind of relate, you know, to the field of having to go to your tri-state area. And so, you know, then you have to, everything else has to be set to the side, you know, and if we really practice family first, then why don't we work from home and learn how to do this type of activity that you do in the field face to face, turn that role into a telesales role. And so we did that a couple of years ago, and it's been a challenge. It's not been easy ever since, right? Like to build my agency, to build my team, to build everything out took a lot of sacrifice, you know, but I got to do it from home. And I'll never forget moments of recruiting insurance agents while I was rocking my miracle IVF daughter in one hand and recruiting on the other hand with my cell phone, you know. Then all these agents could hear, like, well, I want to do what you're doing. Like, you're enjoying family time, and you're like, they could hear my daughter, you know, oohing in the background and stuff. And they're like, yeah, man, you can do this too. So we ended up building out that team, and you know, and then we got approached by North Star, and they asked us to merge, and we had a really good year with them. We did over $1.2 million with my company called Legacy Telesales, and I got to be mentored personally by Vince Spompanato. May he rest in power, the great Vince Spompanato, man. And if you know anything about final expense telesales, you might have Googled it or looked on YouTube. And if you haven't, Google Vince Spompanato and check out some of his training. And I just feel so honored and privileged that I got to be mentored by him personally for about a year. So
Jake, before you kind of segue from him, I mean, when you had the opportunity to work with Vince, can you kind of just shed some light on probably just a couple things that were your greatest takeaways from that experience itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's trademarked right now, bro. It's compassion before commission. You know, it's now my mission statement. I'm on a mission to cure commission breath with compassion before commission. We've got the t-shirts. I mean, that's the number one takeaway, bro. He taught me that. So.
And Jake, I definitely want to go down there when we start talking about the compassion versus commission. Actually, let's go ahead and segue there right now. So you say this all the time. You got, like you said, you trademark it. You got shirts made for it. I absolutely love it. And this is kind of one thing that we talk about a lot on these calls, which is honestly putting the client first, because then the money becomes a byproduct. And, you know, that's one thing where a lot of people, they're not able to put themselves in that position because of that anxiety. Like, I need to make money now. This client, if they hang up the phone, they're never going to pick up again. Right. So like, yeah. how do we give the agents that are listening right now that state of mind where they understand that your first job, first and foremost, is to help these families.
Sure.
And then after you help these families, then you put yourself in a position where you're able to make money afterwards. But if you put the money before you put helping people, the person on the receiving end of that help isn't going to receive it the way that they typically would have. Is that kind of what your approach is, or can you kind of go into it a little bit more as far as compassion versus commission?
Yeah, so you got to think in terms of, in sales, we talk about KPIs, which are key performance indicators, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think of compassion before commission being key performance indicators. Compassion is a journey KPI. I'm enjoying the journey of being of service. I'm emotionally detached from the outcome KPI of commission, right? So like, I know that my service and my mindset of having this impact over income, right? Compassion before commission. If I can find the impact, if I can find the need, then everything else will come in line. The biggest challenge that we have in sales is that we're all taught at some early phase of being in sales, BANT, which is budget, authority, need, timeline, right? So if we can find the need, you can find everything else. So I would say, where's the impact? Make the impact. Impact equals revenue. So find a way that you can make an impact. How do you make an impact? Well, do you have stories to tell on the phone of how you've been of service? Or if you don't have stories, what are some stories that you've heard that you could share over the phone so that you can create that impact, that emotional impact to say, you know, whenever they budge at giving you the checking account information, you can tell a story of, you know, I had a client just like you that didn't want to give me that checking account information, but you know what? He got sick and then turned around and, you know, he didn't have that checking account information. And this is a true story. Whenever I was in the field, you know, I had to go to another family and say, you know, that policy lapsed. We can't reinforce it. And now you've had a heart attack and now you're only going to get this guaranteed issue product. Now you have a 2-year waiting period, you know, and that's all because you didn't want to put your checking account information on there. So you could then tell these types of stories to make an emotional impact. To help, you know, and because you're being of service and you're telling stories of how you've made an impact, then your mind's now on the impact. Your mind's no longer on the income. Then you understand that whenever I'm making an impact, the income, as you said, is a byproduct.
I like that. And, you know, to kind of add to that, Jake, you know, one of the things that I would kind of say to clients whenever we would have a conversation about the checking account, for example, I would just simply just tell the story of exactly what happens. You know, once upon a time, there was right. a time where agents would go around and actually pick up the monthly premium. They would actually come by and pick up. Yeah. And then one day insurance companies realized that that's not cost effective. And a lot of people weren't able to actually go run those debit routes, as they used to call them. Now, nowadays, what happens is you actually have an option. You either have a direct bill pay where you only can pay that either quarterly or annually, or you actually have to set it up on bank draft to go ahead and pay that premium monthly. And I feel like when you actually tell people the truth and you paint a story for them, they're more inclined to actually listen to you, believe you, and trust in you. Yeah. Now, the hardest thing that I feel like, I'm not just going to say our team has, I feel like a lot of agents struggle with this. And it's the notion that if they get off the phone or if somebody doesn't buy right now, they're never going to buy at all. And I want you to kind of speak to it a little bit because you're a stats guy. And I want you to kind of talk to a little bit as far as what are the contact percentages for a first contact, second contact, third contact, and when people are typically going to actually pick up the phone and give you an opportunity to convert.
Yeah. So it's first we want to start with the average person buys a life insurance policy from in their lifetime from seven different insurance agents. So first let's dive into that. So your opportunity to sell a policy or replace a policy or your policy being replaced is way high. So you have to realize that. So think about that. The average person in their lifetime buys seven different insurance agents, policy, life insurance policy, right? From whether that's term or throughout their career, throughout their lifetime. So when I hear that, I first realize I have a really high chance of getting out here with these millions of people and being licensed in 50 different states. The opportunity out here is massive. You know, there's so many different ways that I can prospect, whether that's on LinkedIn, Facebook, there's telesales that I can buy warm transfers. I can, you know what I mean? So there's so many different ways to get somebody on the phone. Right. And so, you know, your contact percentages and stuff like that. I mean, I'm a big fan of one call close. I believe that callbacks most of the time, unless you've really got that really good rapport and all you got to get is that checking account information. And that's the only thing pending. You know, call the bank on three-way, go by, like do it in every way that you can imagine. Like, you know, I'll hold and go grab the bank statement. You can try it like a million different ways, you know, and do all that first. But I'm a huge fan of one call close. I got a little mantra on YouTube called I am a telesales beast. And we talk about, you know, being a telesales beast is being bold, empathetic, assumptive, servant, teachable. And as a way of being teachable, realize like whenever that call didn't close, ask yourself, why didn't it close? What could I have done better? How could I get better to the leads? Because here's one thing that if you don't take away anything from this call today, take away this, that we as sales professionals have to get better to the leads. The leads will never get better to us. We have to get better to leads. So when you're not closing one call close, ask yourself, why? What could I have done better? How could I have gotten that to a one call close? And use that as an opportunity to learn something and grow. And if we're so worried about, you know, my conversions and all these different things, then we're attached to the outcome again, right? Like we're attached to the commission. So if you will literally take the time to build rapport, I'm a big rapport seller, right? Like there's a method that we have is called 3-in-1. Ask 3 questions about somebody and then tell one thing about yourself. So there's that way of building rapport. And focus more on building that rapport, building that relationship, because this is if you're doing final expense over the phone, you're dealing with the demographic that likes to talk about themselves, the number one thing that they like to do is talk about themselves, right? So get them
That's
talking
the
about
truth.
Themselves.
Yes.
And focus on getting to genuinely listen and get to know them and ask them questions, and to the point that it's literally 3-in-1. You're asking because curiosity sells. Right?
Oh, like, man. You said the magic word. Yes.
Be curious and literally stop worrying about your conversion rates and all these different things, and just enjoy the journey of getting to know your clients and serving your clients, and everything else will take care of itself.
So I want to hit on something that you talked about, because it was actually something that we were going to talk about next, which was that beast. So bold, empathetic, assumptive,
servant,
and then teachable.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about that third one, which I probably think is probably one of the most important, which is the assumptive.
Yeah.
You know, can you kind of speak to a little bit, Jake, as far as what are some of the common things that you see people not doing in terms of being assumptive, and things that they can proactively do to allow themselves to carry the conversation with a little bit more assumptive nature?
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of affirmations too, right? Like that's why part of the shirt that we have on CompassionForCommission.com is I am a telesales beast, right? So like I go into every call, like I train agents, before you ever start the call, literally say it out loud. I'm a telesales beast, you know? So if it's meant to be closed, it's going to be closed by me, right? It's like, so that's already going into the mindset of assumptive. I'm assuming the sale. So I'm saying to myself, if it's to be closed, I'm going to close it. Not only am I going to close it, I'm going to clean it. You know, if you've ever read the book Relentless by Tim Grover, right?
Yeah, cleaner.
Yeah, I'm going to be a cleaner. Like, I'm going to get it all off the table. And if it's meant to be closed, I'm going to clean it, right? So first, having that assumptive mindset, you know, like that you got to start there. And then as you're doing your presentation, you're having your conversations, you mentioned the word today throughout your presentation. So now you're being assumptive, but you're also creating a sense of urgency psychologically into your client as many times as you say today. So like, so today, you know, if you're wrapping up a sentence about something, is just as many times as you could possibly say today is so important as part of that way of
programming
that assumptive programming. Yeah.
I love that, Jake. That's a super powerful takeaway right there. Now, I'm curious because, you know, we got a lot of telesales agents that are on the call with us live right now. And, you know, as the holiday season starts to come around, more and more people get intimidated with these objections that they're getting. Call me after the holidays, you know. Let me talk to my kids first. They're coming in town soon. You hear everything under the – everything. You hear everything about why they can't do something. Is there anything in particular that changes in your strategy and approach when it comes down to the holiday season, or do you keep everything primarily consistent throughout your conversation at all times?
Yeah, I mean, here's one thing you can say, you know – this life insurance isn't something that you can wrap up under a bow, but it's certainly something that is a gift to your family. So what better gift can you give than the gift of life insurance? I mean, I've heard agents use that very powerfully. And also life insurance is like a love letter, you know, it's like your last final love letter to your loved ones, you know, and you're talking about a season of love being around my family, love. This is, and right now, even with the challenging times of COVID, who doesn't love a good holiday season, you know? Some people also, well, and I kind of also want to add to that, some people are really going through it right now because they can't be with their family, or they've lost a loved one this time of year, or they recently lost a loved one. So you got to talk to the emotional desire of their love for their family and really speak to that emotionally and connect with them. So first, if you're already going into the mindset of, oh shit, it's the holiday season and now everybody's going to, like, you're already creating a negative thing in your mindset too, by the way, right? Like, if you have to really understand, like, again, back to the assumptive, I'm going to, if it's going to be closed, it's going to be closed by me, right? So it's going into that mindset of, I'm going to try it from every angle possible. I'm not just going to let them tell me no, because, you know, I'm a closer. This is what I do, you know? And so, you know, a lot of people are going into this season, especially in sales, you know, and I've been there too. It's like, oh crap, it's Q4. You know, I gotta nest up and I gotta start balling up and getting ready, because winter's coming, you know. Winter. So here's the reality, right? Winter is always coming. It's always coming. You have to be prepared. And if you're not already putting 30% of your income into a reserve account for yourself, into a savings account for when chargebacks come, because winter is always coming,
always.
Then do it now. Learn to pay yourself first, so that when these types of things happen, whether it's with our economy or for it's with some holiday season that's coming up, you're prepared for winter, because it's always coming.
So you hit on something else there, Jake, that I'm a glaze over it right now, but we're going to come back to it later. Specifically related to kind of allocating the reserves and all that type of stuff. But, you know, when you mention the notion of when you're actually getting ready for the holiday season, historically for us, it's always been the busiest time of the year.
Yeah.
Because what I notice is most people take their foot off the gas Q4. They take their foot off the gas. They start taking breaks. They start going on vacations, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
The only time that I've seen issues with the holiday season has really been the week of Thanksgiving. Christmas, the week of Christmas, people are good up till Christmas Eve. But something about Thanksgiving, nobody wants to be bothered that week of Thanksgiving. Is that something that's pretty consistent with you as well, or do you guys not experience that as much around Thanksgiving time frame and Christmas?
Yeah, so I mean, I think you hit it. It's like understanding that this and speaking into existence, right, is like really, really important to say, this is the busiest time of year. This is where I'm going to rack up, you know. And I don't ever want to take my foot off the gas either, because, you know, I'm a grinder, I'm a hustler, you know, and I'm a beast, right? I'm bold and pathetic, something servant, teachable. So if I'm sitting here and I think that, well, people don't want to be bothered, what's going to happen? Everybody
doesn't want to be bothered,
right? But if I have the mindset that I'm going to kill it this week, I'm going to crush it, what's going to happen?
You're gonna do a darn good job that week,
right? Like, so
absolutely.
Everything, whether you're successful or you're not successful, is 1,000% connected to your mindset.
That's powerful. Now, I also want to talk to you, Jake, really quickly, because you live out in California. Calabasas Hills is a beautiful area. You live near Kim Kardashian and all of those folks. So, you know, I'm curious, Jake, because how much, and let me preface this really quickly, you guys, because 15% of all leads in the country come from California. That blows my mind. 15% of all leads come from California, and it's the number one state in the entire country for distribution. So I'm curious, Jake, do you do a lot of volume out in California? And if so, is that kind of an area that you kind of want to niche down and focus on, or are you looking to go nationwide?
Oh yeah, man, we're definitely nationwide. But I love your numbers, guy, too. I didn't know that statistic, which is pretty dope to know, you know. But it's a large state. It's super overcrowded, you know, and that's why I live in Calabasas, because it's not so crowded, and I live in a gated community, and I still get to enjoy LA, the valley, and
Jake,
the beaches.
Right? You know where they coming, right? This is exactly where they coming. Yeah, they coming to Arizona.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to do telesales, you got to invest in yourself. You got to get licenses. And so, I mean, we dropped, I don't even know, 12, 13 grand on licenses for Reliance Era, you know, for our agency and for me personally. Because if you're licensed in agency, you, the principal, have to be licensed. So if we pay everything LOA, you know, to the agency has to be licensed. And so, yeah, I mean, you gotta be ready to drop some money down on licenses and invest in yourself and realize that's going to increase my opportunities, especially in telesales. So, I mean, can't just limit yourself to one state by no means. Yeah.
But Jake, it's extremely hard when you think about, you know, new agents getting started. They have to buy all these licenses. To get all 50 states, it costs about $5,500. Yeah. Now, how many states do you recommend typically people get started with? Because the way we break it down internally is, you know, we have a first wave and second wave. And we broke this up by highest volume, highest data count. So we have a list of 10 states that where we have our highest converting states, and then we have our 20 list states that are also high converting states. But we kind of structured it for the agent where it's also cost effective. But do you recommend how many states typically when a new agent is getting started to specifically to sell telesales?
Oh, yeah. You don't start with me unless you have 10 states. I mean, flat out, you got to have a minimum of 10 states for yourself. And think about it like this. This is not a job. This could be a career, but this is your business. You have to treat this as your business. I'm not sure how you map things out, Jamal, but I understand that you most likely help people create their own franchise, right? Let's think about that. So this is a business opportunity that you have, and to go out there and start a franchise would cost you $150,000 minimum that you have to have in the bank account, right? So to say that you need to have, I don't know, $150 per state, so maybe let's just say $1,500 roughly to have some decent states is a fraction of what it would cost to go out there and start your own business, you know? So look at it first and foremost like that. You have to treat this as your business. If you don't treat this as your business, you will not be successful. So you have to first and foremost be willing to invest in yourself. And you say, well, I don't have the money. We'll start in states that are, and then I'm sure Jamal can help you, guide you. But then also, to me, I got to a point where working with agents, it's like I can't help everybody, you know?
You can't, yeah.
And that's why I created the teletraining system, is because a lot of agents, unfortunately, are tire kickers. They're not serious. They have the shiny object syndrome. Just as sure as day, there's people listening to me right now. I think the grass might be greener working with Jake Lynn, and it's not. The grass is only greener where you water it. So you have to focus on.
Hold on, Jake. You got to say that one more time. Yeah. Hold on. Say that one more time.
Yeah, this is it, right? Like, this is what's wrong with our insurance industry and the culture. Everybody thinks that somebody else is doing something bigger than somebody else, and they think that it's shinier over here. So I think I'm going to jump ship. I'm going to go to Assurance. I'm going to Northstar. I'm going to work with Jamal. I'm going to work with Jake Lid, and I want to work with so-and-so. But we all think the grass is greener, right? Everywhere, you know, just sure as day, there's people like, I think I want to rock with this dude. Don't. I mean, the grass is only greener where you water it, right? So you got an incredible opportunity. Focus on what you have in front of you. Is your business, and treat it as your business, and get focused. Stay focused.
So you kind of hit on investing in your business, which I think is extremely important. And, you know, this is where I feel like it gets hard for people to take that approach of compassion before commission. Because if I'm thinking like an agent, okay, consider me thinking like an agent, and I'm speaking to them all right now. They understand that, hey, I only get paid when I sell something. Yeah. I only get paid when I sell something. And I just spent all this money on leads and nobody's buying from me. Why is nobody buying from me? And then they get to a point where these leads suck. These leads suck. Everything sucks. And, you know, nothing is working out for me. And Jake, this is something that I want you to speak to, because so many people struggle with it in terms of, you know, there's a million different types of lead out here. And, you know, I've always said a lead is a lead. It's an opportunity to talk to somebody. You control where that conversation goes, not the lead. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people aren't able to remove themselves from that and see this as a business, which is, you know, sometimes there's not an opportunity. Sometimes you need multiple chances. And I believe that this is a matter of just like working out. It's repetition. You got to get those reps in. And without getting those reps in, there's no way that you can accomplish anything. So I want you to hit on a little bit, Jake, because I think this is extremely important. is what is an expectation for an agent to have before they start calculating their ROI based on volume? Because I see people who buy 25 leads, 20 leads, and then they base their success off of just that one batch. And what I used to do, and I'm going to take this back a little bit because, and I'm going to make this full circle, but when I got started in insurance, I was initially selling in the field. And when I was selling in the field, my IMO at the time told me, you need to be on direct mail. Now, being out here in Arizona where I'm located, highly competitive, highly saturated area, direct mail was running $55 a lead. I wasn't paying that. You were out your mind if you think I'm paying that. So I was forced immediately to start looking at alternatives. I did everything from callback leads, and then I got into Facebook very early when they initially got started. And my approach immediately had to be different. The one thing about direct mail that was extremely effective was you were able to saturate zip codes and counties and territories, so that way you knew where you were going to be working. With Facebook, I had a radius. So I had a 50-mile radius from where I was located, where there were different times where I'd have to drive from there to over there, from over there, depending on where my appointments were. And then I started to grasp a different type of concept. And that concept became, all right, in direct mail, what you're looking at is you're looking at working territories. Whenever you're working digital leads or anything like that, your focus immediately is saturation and volume. So I need more volume to saturate an area. And after I saturated that area, now I can start working pocketed territories based on how I've been able to saturate that area. And when I think about transitioning over the phone, I think immediately to, all right, I think there needs to be a reasonable baseline, because in the field, it was 100. I needed 100 leads in order to saturate a territory enough for where I could actually have isolated days in pocketed areas. Like I needed at least 100 leads. Now, over the phone, I think it's almost the exact same approach, especially when you're considering working live transfers. And then I think if you're working any type of callback leads, you have to double it. So, for example, this is where I'm bringing it full circle. With live transfers, I think people need at least 100 leads for them to be able to calculate what their actual CPAs are and also what their ROI is. And then if they're working any type of callback leads, they're going to have to double that number just because of connectivity being a factor that they have to take into consideration with people not picking up the phone. So can you speak to a little bit, Jake, as far as what your thought philosophy is as far as how many leads somebody needs before they're actually able to assess what that KPIs would essentially look like?
It's funny, right? Because you see so many different platforms out there where it's outbound and you're calling these telemarketed callback leads. Mm-hmm. You see the live transfers and the one business model that I've always leaned towards and have coached companies and worked with companies is to get the live transfers. You know, because getting somebody on the phone is you're cutting your time in half, literally, if not more. So you're not having to make those outbound calls, but then also there are some times that you have to wait. So it's like, you have to think of all of what you said, plus how much is my time worth, right? So when we think of goals, we have to think about how much money am I worth by the hour, right? And I broke it all the way down to, you know, how much money do I want to make per year? Divide that by 12 and then divide that by 22 working days in the month, right? And then how much money within those 22 working days do I need to make by the hour to make what I want to make for the year, right? So I have to think about how much is my time worth. So my time is extremely valuable. That's why I want a live transfer lead flat out, because I want to get in more presentations, more pitches, and I don't want to mentally exhaust myself having to do the follow-ups on the callback leads. But that's my preference, right? But, okay, you say, well, you know, I'm having a hard time calculating my ROI and really finding out if this is a good fit for me to do either one of these. And, man, if you're talking about 100 transfers, you're talking about $3,500, $4,000, right, if I'm buying the leads. So, and also, if you're on a free lead platform, think about that. Like, your company is literally investing this to help you start your business, you know, and that's a huge investment. And to think like, and if, even if, let's say, I know lead generation companies, I got a buddy that does $4 million a year, but he probably might clear $400,000 in net profits. That's because you're, and then he has all these employees, right? So he's like barely making ends meet, but the top line revenue says $4 million. Why is that? Because lead generation is expensive, right?
Very expensive. Like,
it's not a cheap business model, and it's a very low profit margin business model. I own 20% in a digital marketing company, and, you know, there's months where we don't get paid, but there's months where we do, and you know what I mean? It's like you have to think about it of the investments that you make. And also people say, well, these lead gen companies are making money. Yeah, you see top line revenue, but you don't see net profits because to drive traffic to a landing page, to get TCPA compliant data and all these different things, you have to take consideration, right? So there's other, like, so if you're buying leads, you're paying for a service for people to talk to get connected to, right? The challenge is here's a huge takeaway. So connection is currency, right? So like, you're talking about my connected rates. Connection is currency. So if you got a live transfer, you've got a connection, right? And you've got to be the one, as you said, controlling the call. So do an alpha call control and controlling the call. But the challenge here is, it sounds like we're having a situation of connecting with yourself, right? So like, you can't connect with anybody else until you learn how to connect with yourself. So you first have to put that self-belief in there to say, again, if it's to be closed, I'm going to close it. I'm going to invest in myself. I believe in myself. And the challenge there, if nobody's wanting to buy leads or if they're not being a good steward of free leads, is that they have a lack of belief that this opportunity of their business that they have can and will change their life if they're willing to do the work. So what does work look like? Well, you got to work on your craft. You got to pump yourself up. Listen to some Eric Thomas. I mean, you got to, you know what I mean? You got to start really pumping yourself up to really get yourself to a point where, okay, I'm in beast mode. Now I'm ready to rock. And that's first and foremost is connection is currency, learning to connect with yourself. And so before you can really invest in yourself to keep buying leads and things like that, you know, you got to first realize, okay, am I in the right mindset? Am I really connected to myself? Am I really ready to go out here and have these conversations? And am I so worried about what, because conversations can take so many different, you know, pathways, right? Like one conversation can go this way, the other conversation can go that way. So how do you like straight line sell, right? Get the conversation back onto the straight line. You know, and how do you keep people engaged and focused? And like, there's so much to telesales as far as how the conversation, directing the conversation and getting it back on track to, you know what I mean? Like so many different ways that you can do it. But yeah, so, I mean, to answer your question regarding the ROI, I mean, it's really just, will you spend a dollar to make $2?
Well, you know? Jake, I think what I'm more so alluding to and I think you can add to this, specifically going back to kind of what your training is and what your platform is, because I want to talk to agents who are just getting started, not necessarily the people that are live listening on this call right now, but yeah. I want to talk to agents that are just out there that are wanting to get started. And because here's the thing, and this is what gets me so much, Jake, is whenever I think about this business now, I at least need $2,000 to get started. There's no way I can get started with less than $2,000.
Right.
And that doesn't include licensing. That doesn't include licensing. Licensing goes on top of that. This is just marketing, because marketing is the bloodline of this business. And I feel like a lot of agents, they just try. They try a couple of different things. And I feel like this number is this is where you can't keep trying a whole bunch of different things. You got to commit to something that's going to give you a certain level of consistency that's going to lead to that expected level of production. Because when I think about agents going more than 7 days without rebuying leads, that gives me anxiety. That gives me so much anxiety. Like I was talking to a gentleman that I used to buy leads from a while ago yesterday. And I was talking to him. I was like, man, I used to get mad when you didn't charge me. I used to get mad when you didn't charge me. And I asked, because he was having a conversation with me about, you know, people don't want to pay and all of this type of stuff, and they want to reorder after a long period of time, where, you know, we all know that it's cheaper to run campaigns when you don't turn them off, when you try to stop and restart campaigns that always causes issues. And, you know, he was trying to talk to that, and I was talking to him because I was like, why don't people put enough emphasis on making sure that there is that level of consistency? Because after 5 days, I knew I was going to get recharged. I had to get recharged because I knew that I needed that volume, because I would usually place my lead orders every Friday, because every Friday I knew that if I placed it on Friday, I would start getting my volume over the weekend. And the weekends were always the highest flow days and usually the cheapest CPA days. So I would get that volume over the weekend. So that way I knew Monday, I always had people to go see that were fresh and they wanted me to come see them. And, you know, when I think about any type of agents, especially anybody that's selling good, you know, that's writing good business, I think that all of these people, the one thing that they have in the variable that never changes is the number of people that are always coming through the door that are new. And when I think about agents that are struggling, it's because they don't have people that are coming through the door that are new, and they have too much idle time in between lead orders. So can you kind of speak to that a little bit? Because I think that fulfillment matters. And I also think that the consistency in how frequently your order also matters.
Right. And also depending, you're mentioning, you know, referencing to a new agent, you know, having a new agent to really adopt the right mindset, the right building out the right business plan. This is what you're talking about. Sounds like, and I see it right there, Jamal, like 30, 90 days, like you have your goals over there. Like you're a man of goals. You know what you want to do and you know what you need to do to get there. And you nailed it when you said, you know, agents think that they can just get in here and try it. And, you know, trying is not a committed word, right? And you said, you know, you got to shift that from trying to committed. And when I hear an agent say, well, I think they'll just try telesales. And I say, well, I think I'll just swipe left, right? Like, because this is not a good fit for us, you know, because it doesn't sound like you're committed, like you're all in. So why would we invest thousands of dollars in leads on you? You know what I mean? And so it's like, that's the first thing is like, and maybe this is advice to you, Jamal, I don't know, but be okay with walking away from the wrong type of agent. You know, like you have a standard for yourself, right? Like, only want to work with committed agents. Otherwise everybody else is just a waste of time. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I get that, Jake. And I'm not necessarily talking to myself right now. Yeah. Who I'm talking to are those individuals that are listening. And these are those people that are just out there. They're always looking for the next best thing. And I want them to know that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. Right. At some point, anybody that's producing at a high level, they have a certain level of consistency and commitment that's allowing them to be able to do that. Yeah. Even our agents that are supported, that receive support from us directly in the form of transfers or whatever that looks like, there's a certain level of commitment and expectation that's congruent with that. Right. And I feel like what a lot of people don't do is they want the byproduct, but they don't want to put in the input to create that. You know, even when I look at activity time and how many times that people are actually live, our best agents have talk times over 30 hours a week. You know, they're over 30 hours. Exactly. And if you're talking to people I'm not talking, because here's the thing. People be thinking logging in is the same thing as talk time and active time. That's not the same thing. And, you know, I see people that logged in, you know, I'm logged in 45 hours a week, but you're only talking for three. So, so what are you doing for that difference of time? And that those are the people that I'm talking to right now, Jake, because those are the ones that I feel like are never going to get out of their own way. And that's what I'm trying to do, is help them get out of their own way.
Yeah. So it's like this persistent, consistent pursuit of your potential, right? So like, it's that inner belief of yourself to understand, I am, a child of the Most High God who blesses me and showers me with blessings. Like, really, are you doing self-talk? Are you looking in the mirror to say, pumping yourself up? Like, what's the real issue here? Like, let's really get to the core. Like, this type of person sounds like somebody that really needs to boost their confidence, right? Like, is it lack of confidence in the product? Okay, well, maybe really get to the root of it. Do you need more product training, more product knowledge, more product confidence on underwriting? Is it so many products that you're feeling overwhelmed? Like, are you like, get to the root of it is what I'm saying, is what's really going on. And really focus on how can you shift the mindset to really get to the understanding of, I have to be persistent, consistent in the pursuit of my potential, right? Like, I don't know what my potential is. Like, I'm really struggling. Maybe this whole calling thing and this telesales thing isn't for me. Well, increase your potential. How do you increase your potential? You go listen on YouTube to the Vince Pomponatos. You go out there and seek the information. You get the blueprints for success, right? And then once you have here's the thing. I've seen the taste of success so many times in the last couple of years, right? But I can never really hold on to it. Why couldn't I hold on to success? Because I was too busy chasing success, right? And the reason why people don't have money is because they're too busy chasing money. They can't keep money. So you got to shift the focus of, if my talk time is low, I'm obviously not enjoying what I do. If I'm on here for 45 hours and I'm only getting 3 hours of talk time, I might want to listen more than I speak. God gave me 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason, right? I might want to start asking questions and getting people to talk to me, right? Getting them doing the talking, me doing the listening, and your talk time will go through the roof if you learn how to ask the right questions.
I got to let that sit out there. Let's let that breathe really quick, Jake, because, man, you guys, if there's anything that I could tell you guys that will help you a lot, it would be to shut the hell up and let the client talk and listen. I mean, I feel like so often, Jake, they hear the client, but they're not listening to the client. Yeah. You know, they're thinking about and you said something earlier that I think is beautiful. 3 questions, 3-1, right? It's 3-1.
Yeah.
That thing is flawless. Everybody, please take that away. Get the client to talk 3 times and you say 1 thing. That's a perfect ratio, Jake. You know what? I'm going to write that one down, because that's something that we're definitely going to be adopting. Yeah, so
70-30, right? That's the magic number. They're talking for 70% and you're listening for 30% in telesales.
Well, I think that also kind of adds to the notion of how you build trust with people. Yeah. Because when people feel comfortable enough to feel open enough to talk to you, they start to trust you a lot more. And I think that's what starts to evolve the conversation and take it to another place. I think that's fantastic. Now, there's one last topic I want to touch on. We're heading towards the tail end of this conversation. But, Jake, I want to end this call talking about one thing specifically, and that's belief. And I said we're going to get back to this, and I want to make sure we touch on it now. But belief is something that I think it can be learned. I think it's something that people have to be willing to learn. And let me tell you on my end why I believe in this. And
there you go.
And Jake, genuinely, I believe that every single person that we have a conversation with needs us. Yeah. You know, my birth father died when I was very young. And when he passed away, my mother, she didn't have anything. There were no benefits in place. There was nothing. Yeah. Nobody had this conversation with my father. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he was very young. So he had a lot of young kids, me being one of them. And I directly saw the effect of not having that stability or that reassurance in a household where it's so needed. And I feel like a lot of people, they can kind of relate to it, but they can't really, to the point where that value there, like if I'm talking to a client, they can't tell me that they don't need this or that this doesn't matter. Like, you, I don't believe that. You can't tell me that. So I want to know from your perspective, what has happened that's made you believe in this product so much, and whether or not you believe belief is something that can be learned.
Yeah. Belief is definitely something that can be learned. And I appreciate you sharing that story with me. Like, I felt that I was connected to you as you shared your story of why and you're so passionate about life insurance. And I hope you have that in every sales presentation, because it's so powerful, right?
And very.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing. And Jamal's asking me, you know, kind of what's my story. And I want everybody that's listening to think about, what's your story like Jamal's? Oh, I don't have a story like Jamal's. Well, then tell Jamal's story. You know, like, that was powerful and why you wanted to get into it. There's so many agents that I talk to that have that same reason why they got into this industry. And I love working with these types of agents, right? I don't have that kind of story to really share, right? Other than when I was a life insurance agent and this whole living benefits rider was coming out, and we were slinging that at AIG when I was a career agent. And I did a policy review with the lady, you know, because I was very blessed to be able to start with the company that really trained me. And they no longer have a career distribution channel for this type of training, AIG American General Life out of Madisonville, Kentucky, before California. So, and I called on this lady in Evansville, Indiana, which was where my book was. So when I said I had to travel, I had a book in Indiana, I had one in Tennessee, and in Ohio. So I was traveling like crazy. But I was doing this policy review with this lady. This is the first time I ever got emotional being an insurance agent. She told me, you know, she had only 12 months left to live. So I was like, well, you have this ABR, this accelerated benefit rider. And I said, well, you know, because I'm very service mindset. And so I said, well, you know, let's get you out a form for you to fill out for accelerated benefit rider, and we're going to get you those benefits. I get a call about a month later. She's thanking me, you know, and she said, you know, I always wanted to go to Europe, and I never was never going to be able to go, but that money that you were able to get me from that accelerated benefit rider, my husband and I went and we kicked around my bucket list in Europe. Thank you so much. And like, I never forget that moment.
Wow.
Like, I was struggling with being an insurance agent. I was like, screw this. I'm done. Like, I'm fed up. But that moment like changed it all for me. Right. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, like, I am making an impact. Like, I'm really doing something, you know? And it's because it all stemmed from gratitude, right? She called me thanking me, you know, like, she was super grateful for the service that I provided. And she shared that experience with me of something that I did for her. You know, she didn't have to die to use her life insurance, right? So like, I don't have this morbid story of why I'm a life insurance agent to this day. I have a story of, I helped a lady while she was living use her life insurance. So whenever I get to that explaining that benefit of living benefits, you best believe I'm super passionate about living benefits, because it's life insurance you don't have to die to use. Not every story has to be morbid, right?
Yeah.
So it's really just finding, like you said, that belief, but that belief has to start with us. And I'll finish it with this. Just reminded of a quote from the Bible that my app just popped up, said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do some things. It says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So no matter what your spiritual belief is understand that you have to be of service to something bigger than yourself, because life insurance is something bigger than you, right? Because it's clients, it's people, it's lives, it's family. Like, you have to give a crap. You have to care. You have to care. If you don't care about the product that you're selling or the business that you're in, get out of it. Because you're the reason why sales professionals has a bad rep. You have to believe in what you sell, or don't sell it. And please get out of our industry, please, because you have commission breath and we don't want you. But if you believe in the product that you sell, go out there and make an impact. And you're going to make revenue for yourself, because impact equals revenue.
Jake, I'm not going to end it any other way than that. I think that was very well said. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, as well as the entire team over here, for thanking you for joining us this morning. Results over reasons, you guys. And Jake, how can people get connected with you if they want to, you know? Oh, I forgot to mention this, you guys. Jake also has a top 50 podcast as well. So yeah, you guys can check that out. So Jake, can you please kind of let everybody know where they could go ahead and listen to some of the other content that you had? Because you had Dean Graziosi on there. You had Mike Meltzer. Or David Meltzer, excuse me.
Yeah, the real Jerry Maguire.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, man, super grateful to be here. I appreciate you calling me up, man, and this opportunity to pour out and bless the people, man. So I appreciate it. And so, yeah, just let me know how I can be of service. You can find me at jakelynn.com. So that's JAKELYNN.com. All my links, it's all right there in that hub. So let me know how I can be of service.
I appreciate you so much, Jake. I want you to have unlimited success. Any way that we could support you, you already know that we will do that. But I want to thank you again for joining us this morning, and we will talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. And everybody that's here right now, it is now 7:05 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is 10:05 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's get to work, everybody. Let's make some money. Let's have a good day. And if you guys are able to send Jake some love, let him know that we appreciate him. This was fantastic, man. A lot of rich content in here. Thank you, man.
Yeah, man. Let's get dialed in.
You have the confidence, conviction, clarity.
Jake. Everybody
empathetic.
Take care. Have
you put compassion before commission.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Assumptive. You're always assuming the sale. Servant. You serve, don't sell. Teachable. You keep an open mind because you realize the most expensive thing you can have is a closed mind. That's what it takes to become a telesales beast. If you're a beast or anybody that you think is a beast and wants to be on the show, send me an email at jake@jakelynn.com. I love to hear from you. All things telesales. If you feel like this was 5-star worthy, I love to hear from you in the reviews. Give a 5-star review. And if not, maybe check out another episode. Maybe by then you'll be ready to give it a 5-star review. That's just a good way to get the word out there. Where we're spreading that compassion before commission. Love to hear from you. Until next time, let's get dialed in.